KNOM Update News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur, and it's 9:02. Village public safety officers will soon be able to carry firearms if the governor signs a measure approved Wednesday in the Senate. Senator Donnie Olson spoke the bill's behalf.
House Bill 199 clearly establishes the legislature's intent to go ahead and allow those VPSOs in the various villages to carry firearms. This does not mandate that they have to, but it does allow them to go ahead and lift that restriction that has been there by the Department of Public Safety from the past.
Under HB 199, regional nonprofits have the final say in whether or not they want VPSOs to carry weapons. Some nonprofits, like the Tenenah Chiefs Conference, sent letters urging legislatures to support the measure, and none of them came out against it. The bill allows up to 20 qualified VPSOs a year to travel to the police academy in Sitka for comprehensive firearms training, as well as use of deadly force instruction. The Department of Public Safety will absorb the $62,000 a year in cost. The measure comes amid debates throughout the state on how to improve public safety in communities off the road system and in the context of rising rates of rural violence, including an incident that claimed the life of a village public safety officer last year.
We all remember that sad day on March 19, 2013, when the unarmed VPSO Thomas Madall in Manicotic got into the line of fire. This is a response to that so that with proper training, they will be able to go ahead and be armed.
HB 199 was approved on the Senate floor unanimously and now heads to the governor's desk for final approval. As the legislative session in Juneau comes down to its final days, a bill creating a fund aimed at helping pay for Arctic infrastructure advanced in the House Wednesday. SB 140 would allow the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, or AIDA, to offer loans for businesses and other groups looking to fund projects in the Arctic. Working with partners like the federal government could mean progress on key projects. Here's Jesse Williams, aide to bill co-sponsor Senator Liesl McGuire.
One project that could be explored is the Deepwater Draft Port that the Army Corps of Engineers is currently working on. They have identified several sites, and we all know that Port Clarence has been the most talked about. This fund would allow the Department of Defense or the Department of the Interior to pair with the state of Alaska on financing options.
The revised bill expands loan eligibility for projects that are in Alaska but not technically within the Arctic. Bethel Democrat Bob Heron says this will help establish ports reorient for Arctic activity.
We need response to accidents. We need a safe refuge for vessels that are plying our waters. And again, Unalaska and Seward are just examples of both established ports that will expand because of Arctic development.
The bill now goes before the full House Finance Committee. Republican U.S. Senate hopeful Joe Miller is holding a campaign kickoff event Monday in Wasilla. Miller announced his candidacy last year, but has kept a relatively low profile until recently. Miller was thrust into the national spotlight in 2010 when he upset Senator Lisa Murkowski in the GOP primary. Murkowski later mounted a successful write-in campaign to hold on to her seat. Miller is among the Republicans seeking his party's nomination for the seat currently held by Democrat Mark Begich, who is seeking re-election. Other Republicans include former State Natural Resources Commissioner Dan Sullivan and Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell. Governor Sean Parnell's $150 million bill to subsidize Alaska's oil refineries grew to $200 million Wednesday when House Speaker Mike Chenault expanded it to include the Agrium fertilizer plant in Nikiski. The plant has been closed since 2008, but Agrium said last year it's considering reopening it. Chenault, a Nikiski Republican, says he's been talking to the company for a while about some kind of state incentive to reopen the plant. Then, a few days ago, the governor proposed a bill to help refineries. Chenault says Agrium recognized the possibility.
Well, we've been looking, and this happens to be a vehicle, and I did bring it up and said, hey, could we qualify for this? So we investigated it and drafted up the amendment.
Chenault says bringing the plant online could create 450 jobs in his district, plus cheap fertilizer for Mattsu farmers. House Bill 287 would provide a refinery up to $10 million a year in tax credits or cash for 5 years. To qualify, a company would have to spend $25 million on its infrastructure. The Parnell administration proposed it to help PetroStar cope with the high price of North Slope crude. PetroStar has two refineries, so it could get up to $100 million over 5 years. Tesoro and Agrium would qualify for $50 million each. If a company buys the Flint Hills refinery in North Pole, it would also qualify for $50 million. Democrats who opposed the bill before said the addition of Agrium makes it worse. Senator Berta Gardner, an Anchorage Democrat, says she's angry this bill is moving, while funding for education remains uncertain.
It galls me. It seems like the legislature's never met a tax incentive or a tax credit we didn't endorse if it's for the oil industry.
The bill cleared the House Rules Committee in about 6 minutes yesterday and heads to the House floor. The Alaska House of Representatives yesterday approved a bill symbolically recognizing 20 Alaska Native languages as official state languages. Supporters clapped from the gallery as lawmakers pounded their desk in approval after House Speaker Mike Chenault announced House Bill 216 had passed.
Committee substitute for House Bill 216, State Affairs, has passed the House.
Representative Clarice Millett, an Anchorage Republican and co-sponsor of the legislation, said her only regret in life is that she never asked her Inupiaq grandmother to teach her the language.
She told me stories of fish camps and told me stories of moving from town to town to live a subsistence lifestyle, picking berries, but I never learned the language.
The legislature's only fluent speaker of an Alaska Native language is Representative Benjamin Nagik, a Barrel Democrat who delivered about half of his remarks in Inupiaq, saying the bill acknowledges indigenous languages have been spoken in Alaska since before European contact.
Una, House Bill 216. Kwaranyak takput, akokto, akoktoniak takput, akoktok, kugoloiki ilipsiginun. Most of our languages are still alive, and we need to continue to do to make sure that those languages thrive and survive.
A section was ultimately added to the bill stating it won't require governments to conduct business in languages other than English, currently the only official state language. With less than a week to go in this year's legislative session, the Senate State Affairs Committee will hear the bill on Thursday. Unofficially, it is 26 degrees outside the KNOM studios. And looking in on the price of gold in New York at this hour, gold is down $6.60 an ounce to $1,296.60 an ounce. Silver down 23 cents an ounce. Rather, silver down 4 cents an ounce to $19.69 an ounce. And zinc is at 93 cents a pound. Unofficially, it is 26 degrees outside the KNOM studios, 10 minutes after 9 o'clock. Good morning.